With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome to Clicking Balls. This is our 2020 season preview for the Carlton Blues. So we'll go through what happened to them in 2019 before we get into 2020. And it was a bit of a season of two halves for Carlton. 16th and 7 wins.
Yeah, but I feel like the season wasn't as bad as what the results were.
Oh, look, at the start of the season, you had said Carlton would get 7 wins and a rising star champion.
Yeah.
You'd take it.
A clear favourite. I mean, it's a good place to start on the highs. Because I feel like this was, all in all, a good season for Carlton. Because not only did they get 7 wins and hope, they still got their, you know, top 5 draft picks.
Well, and they beat a lot of the teams that were around their recovery phase. Like, they beat St Kilda, they beat Gold Coast. You know, they looked all right.
They look good, you know, in the second half of the year.
Yeah.
Tell you what doesn't look good is the stock photos from their playing profiles. If you have a look at it, I don't know, does they have one photographer that does the whole AFL team, so they do in-house or?
Well, it's probably Vessia.
Vessia?
The AFLW chick.
Probably.
Yeah. Because Vessio?
I don't know, but she obviously fucking hates Carlton because they're some shockers. Is that or whoever's uploading their media is just taking the piss.
Well, maybe she's spending all the time training and just doesn't have time to do the images properly.
Well, some people they didn't even bother to Photoshop Carlton Guernseys on them. Fraser Phillips, Josh Honey, Jack Noons, I mean, Mark Pitanay, Eddie Betts, who they've got a photo of him in a Carlton Guernsey. They didn't even bother changing his over. But even the ones that are in Carlton Guernseys, you've got Harry McKay, whose face is crooked.
Maybe they're just ugly.
Tim DeConin looks like Australia Channel 10 News.
Well, maybe he's gone for a media career.
Darcy Lang looks special needs.
Well, not much of the graphic design can do about
Jacob
that.
Jacob Wiedering. Oh, that's just how he looks.
Yep.
All right.
So, highs for the year. Like, Sam Walsh is obviously one of the highs. The runaway winner for the Rising Star Award and looked good all year doing it.
Yep.
If anything, he just looks one or two pre-seasons away from being an absolute superstar.
Yeah. It looks like they're probably going to hold on to him now, too. Usually Carlton bleeds stars, get them back once they're fucking cooked. But it looks like, they've got a good sort of system there that's keeping their talent around as opposed to just offloading it.
I mean, when you're playing Carlton in 2020, you're going to think, should we tag the bloke?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep.
Well, it gets down to that, too, because one of the other highs I had down was Paddy Cripps continued his ascension.
Yeah.
Played one of the best games of the year, would have kicked 5 or 6 and won the game for him. I think it was against the Saints, actually. I'm trying to remember now. But with those two, it might get down to the stage where you go, you know what, we can't tag Cripps. We'll try and tag Sam Walsh. And they're two absolute elite talents that, you know, maybe 2020 isn't the year that they take the AFL by storm, but 2021, 22,
you're
looking at some pretty mean midfields.
I thought Nick Newman gave value for money too.
Yeah, absolutely. Was he first or second year at Carlton? I'm not
sure. I think it's the first.
First, yeah. Yep. Yeah, value for money, definitely. Yeah, what'd you like about his games?
Just the solidness around the back line.
Yep.
Because Doherty leaving, obviously, left a hole in there.
Doing his knee.
Well, leaving the field. It left that hole of seniority.
Yeah.
And I think Newman had that experience and, I guess, leadership ability.
Well, he's a journeyman at best, but I think even that...
he's a worker.
...slotted in well for Carlton, you know, with their lack of leadership.
And I think, too, with a young squad, you've got some leaders who can complicate things and keep refining. But when you've got a journeyman leader back there, he's like, look, simple game. play the bloke you're on, beat him to the ball, everything else will come second. And that's, like, to be honest, a backman is 90% that. I mean, you can make it as complicated as you want to be, like predicting the ball, playing the zone, whatever. But in the end, if your bloke isn't getting the ball, you're doing your job.
Yeah. And I feel like when you look at who they've brought into the team, which we'll obviously get to later, but I feel like they're basically banking on St Kilda being the new Carlton, where they just bleed stars. And like, fuck it. I think pretty sure they're the new us. Let's just get them all.
Yeah.
That's it. And Gold Coast are still keeping true to form there too.
Yeah, they're still getting supported by the AFL.
I thought one of the other highs that has to be mentioned was their win over the Western Bulldogs early on in the year. They scored over 100 points for the first time in 2 or 3 years or something like that.
Yeah.
There was a couple of matches, was one last year and one this year, where they got to 99.
I got damn close.
Yeah.
And this one, I think Walsh actually kicked a goal in the last kick of the game. To get them over the 100 points.
Yep.
You know, and a handy 5 or 6 goal win as well against a team that went on, played finals. That was a highlight for them early on in the year when they didn't have many.
Yeah. Am I fucked up in thinking that Liam Jones had some good games?
He had some good games. He was quieter the year before, and this year he still had his injury concerns, but I think he copped a couple of head knocks.
Yeah.
He started to get better again.
I feel like this was the year where he wasn't the punching bag of Carlton supporters.
We had that breakout year, if you remember, 2 years ago.
Yep.
And then injuries haven't allowed him to get back. But yeah, he did play some good games. And it's got to be said, you know, every year when we talk about Carlton, we mention Levi Casbolt.
Yeah.
His kicking is, it looks like they finally sorted it out and found his limitations. And he's not a liability anymore. And they figured out, you know what? Backline is not too bad for the
lad. You got a screaming contested marker.
Yeah.
Maybe if he's having a bit of rough time at forward, drop him back.
Legitimately one of the best contested marks in the AFL.
Should you? Yeah. I mean, geez, it's a small list of anyone I put ahead of him.
Yep. You'd love to see him go shoulder to shoulder against somebody like Tommy Hawkins, you know?
Yeah.
Just two bulls trying to go at it. Sorry.
I was going to say, in a shootout, though, I think he's about probably the 100th best forward.
Yeah, but he's getting better, though. He is much better this year.
He is. He's had every chance. Like, he's had every bastard under their sun teaching him how to kick and everything. I think sometimes playing yourself into the game, like starting the back line, getting a bit of the ball, and thinking, all right, I've had a good game now.
Yeah.
I make this shot. I don't make the shot. I've started a good game. It can help the player's confidence so much.
And the other high we've got to talk about for Carlton is obviously David Teague. The way that the whole club galvanised behind him and got excited for him, and you know, they won in his first couple of weeks, and the hope that they gave them in the second half of the year.
I mean, I'm sick of North Melbourne supporting every other fucking team. We've got Teague, we've got Clarkson, we've got Simpson. We're supporting all you bastards with coaches.
Yeah, shame about your own.
Yeah, we outsource their own.
The lows, well, I mean, it's pretty obvious where the lows are. They went 1-10 to start the year, and that was enough to cost the nicest man in football's job, Brendan Bolton. I think you can't say he's a good coach because he had 3 or 4 years and they couldn't get out of the bottom two, basically, with him. But maybe it was that he was used to some military precision in previous, and maybe he's a great assistant coach.
Yeah.
Well, it just, and it's impossible to tell from the outside looking in.
Yeah.
But it seemed to me they were trying to win the last premiership kind of thing.
Maybe. Yeah. Yep.
Like they were trying to play excellent 2013 football.
Yeah.
Rather than trying to adapt to the evolving style that happens.
And some of the messages that came out once Teague took over was, let's just make things simple. So maybe it was too confusing a game plan for lads that, you know, he obviously came from Hawthorn where you had Mitchell, Hodge, Lewis,
you know,
extremely smart footballers. They're not Levi Casbolt, Liam Jones.
Yeah. I mean, that's the advantage Hawthorn had. They could play the military style because they had squad leaders.
Well, they had coaches out on the ground, you know.
And that's, you know, a diversified leadership. But they just did not have that at Carlton. Or if they do have it, the players aren't up to it or the followers aren't following.
Well, it's a great thing about coaching. Do you coach the best game plan for your team or do you get your team to play to your best game plan?
Yeah,
you know, that's the question.
And Teague obviously went the other way. He said, all right, this is a team we've got. This is the best way we can get them to play.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's probably a sensible way to go about it.
I think that's the way that sort of is shown that it's going to get the most out of the players that you got. And then once they're on board, then you can start
the tricky part is then you can recruit as you want. Do you recruit for the game plan you want, knowing that the players you've got might struggle to change it?
Yep.
Or do you just keep topping up like for
I think a good coach, you can't just have, all right, this is the game plan to win, so I'll get people to fill this out. You got to look at what you got and figure out how you win with that team.
All right, we'll have a look at their list changes, and I think they've had some good list changes over the offseason.
They're looking great on paper.
On the outs, Thomas Bugg, who a lot of people would have thought retired the year earlier, but...
didn't know he went to Carlton.
No. Alex Fasolo, who spent most of his time injured, but did get out there a bit. Pickett, Daisy Thomas called it quits. And I thought they handled that really well, because he made it known that he wanted to keep going, but the way the Carlton's list is, he's not in their long-term plan. So I think that they said goodbye to somebody who'd tried his best for Carlton.
Yep. You can't really fault him too much, because he was given a fuck ton of money.
Exactly.
But he definitely didn't deserve it.
He better thank Mickey Malthouse every September.
Exactly.
When it comes around.
I mean, dude's got a premiership. So
it almost got to the point where he was embarrassed. He's I'm not going to say no to it.
He was a Brownlow Medal favourite at one stage at Collingwood.
Yeah.
Now I think he's on I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here.
Really?
Garlett is out. Matthew Lobb is out. Phillips, I traded out to Essendon. You going to say something about Lobb?
Oh, no, I was going to say something about Daisy Thomas. Old mate Swan is auctioning off his medal for the bushfires.
Dane Beams.
Swan's
already auctioned that off. Of COVID.
I think Daisy Thomas would do the same thing. I mean, it just gives Nathan Buckley two chances to buy one.
I was thinking that too. It'd be great if he put in a bid.
Just let me
see. I want to see Swanny buy it.
Honestly, Michael Tuck.
Just put it in the collection. Oh, I missed that year.
He has got one from the 2000s. Phillips, they traded out to Essendon, which I thought was a bit unusual, because I thought he was all right.
Yeah,
I like Phillips.
But, he's an excess ruck that they traded somebody else in. And I'll put DeLuca in as one of their interesting off-season delistings, because they only picked him up in the mid-season draft anyway. Never played him, and then got rid of him.
Yep. Awesome. Just basically doing an internship.
Thanks, mate.
Time to move on.
Never mind.
Yeah.
Back to the state leads.
I mean, losing Phillips wasn't that bad, considering they picked up Pitnett.
Yeah, exactly. And that's why they were able to let go of Phillips. So we'll do the ins, and Pitnett's one of them. He's a big lad, Pitnett. He's still 2 years off being AFL standard.
Coordinated.
Yes.
And he wasn't going to get a gig at Hawthorn.
Well...
Not a full-time gig.
No. I mean, McAvoy's got the ruck roll down pat, and it was on Hawthorne's side of things, it's if we keep Segler, you're probably better off going somewhere else.
Yeah.
It's just, probably 2 years too early there. But here, I've just gone absolutely blank on their number one ruckman.
Cruiser?
Matty Cruiser. He's probably got 2 years left, injury if it allows him.
Yep.
And then...
that's just it. With Cruiser, it might be 2 years left, but he might play 8 games.
Exactly. Yeah. So he's going to get plenty of opportunities there. Jack Nunes coming over from the Saints. That's a good pickup.
Yeah, I think
that's
a really good pickup. I'm surprised the Saints didn't go, to be honest.
Decent player, yeah.
They were unusually level-headed during the trade and draft period.
I think so. They had big goals, big ambitions.
Yeah, like they were after... Was it Papley, Martin, and who else was there?
You're talking about Carlton now?
Carlton, yeah.
Yeah.
Can't remember, there was a third player, like a name. Maybe it was Danaher. Can't remember. There was a third name player they were after. Obviously, Papley didn't go, despite several journos saying he was locked and loaded.
Well, he definitely wanted to, without a doubt. Just didn't check with Carlton first. Brendan Ellis is the other one.
That's it.
I'm looking at.
But the Martin one I thought was fucking smart, because Gold Coast tried to play hardball, and Carlton have gone... We can pick him up in the...
We'll do it. Yeah, we'll see. Yeah. I don't mind that from the Gold Coast side of things either, because they can't... They've just been bleeding players for years and years and years. And the price that Carlton were willing to pay for Jack, considering they could get him for nothing, and they just went, no.
Yeah.
We'd rather let him go for nothing. I mean, it sends a message.
You've got to draw a line in the sand sometime.
Yeah. I mean, it is one that, to your own detriment, but...
I think that was well done by Carlton, though, not to blink.
Yeah, I think so too. And they definitely won, because they got the player they wanted for nothing.
Yeah.
Mm.
And Jack Martin's the other another in for them. I do think he's played a couple of good games. I'm not convinced on his consistency that that's his standard.
Yeah.
That's his exception, not his standard.
I think he still has a shite ton of potential. if he had have gone to, I don't know, say a West Coast,
right?
I'd be like, shit, this kid could be anything, because they're not relying on him to be something straight away. Whereas Carlton, he still has that potential, but I think expecting it to be delivered too early when the team's not used to him could be to his detriment.
And obviously, their biggest name getting in the off-season is Eddie Betts. He's come back to the fold.
I love that story.
Oh, yeah. It's great, isn't it?
It's great, yeah.
And it's hiding to nothing for...
And it fills up at least two bays.
Mm. Exactly. It sells memberships. He doesn't need to play.
And like, anytime you take something away from Adelaide, it's always good. they lose so much of the little culture they had left.
But the little kids are going to be wearing Eddie Betts' jumper again.
Yeah. Big shorts.
Yeah, the big shorts.
And it kind of spackles over the distaste of him leaving in the first place.
Yeah. Now Crows just have to figure out how they name another pocket.
I should check their drawer.
Well, straight away, it's going to be like Eddie Betts' pocket at the G.
Do Carlton play in Adelaide? Because they should just name the other pocket.
Yeah. I've looked that up because I wanted to look that up. They don't have a double up against Adelaide next year. I've checked that. But also, everybody talks about how Eddie Betts as a leader off the field, and especially with the Indigenous lads as well. They look up to him because he's, 250-odd games?
Years old.
600 goals or whatever it is.
Yeah.
He's a great culture leader.
Yeah, for sure.
And it can only be good things.
They do play at Adelaide Oval in round 10.
Round 10, so before the bye. Mm. Interesting stuff. Eddie's got to play. It doesn't matter if he's broken his
leg. I will that motherfucker out if you have to.
Yeah, he's going to kick 7.
Do you reckon when he gets out there, he just starts singing Never Tear Us Apart or something? Just to fuck with him even further.
Or the Richmond song.
Yeah, Richmond song.
Still. All right. Looking forward to 2020 then. We should have mentioned one more out, actually. And that's Stephen Silvani.
Yeah.
Didn't that one play out in the papers?
Oh, God.
Yeah. It's hard when you've got a favourite son in the squad. Like, we've seen that with James Hurd, Michael Voss, all those sort of guys. Obviously, not being... He didn't have a coaching role, did he? It was only back office.
Recruiting.
Yeah, only list management.
Only list management, you say.
Yeah, yeah. That was, as in, that was alone his role. He wasn't list management / backline coach on occasion. There was player contact, but not strategic. It was all...
Not game day
contact.
That's what you're after, yeah.
Or that sort of stuff. So no tactics, only strategy.
Yeah.
But to say, he's out because his kids are here, and then he's like, nah, that's not what happened.
It was clearly did not see eye to eye with a few board
members. Yeah, and if Carlton give a fuck if his kids are there, that's going to kick him out. Yeah. Like, I don't know about this ethical shit. Carlton ethics.
Not in the last 40 years.
140?
I can't go back that far, but I'm going to say yes.
Yeah. Cause in the terms of the most ethical team, I'd never have put Carlton in the top five in any season ever.
Dead last, and I'll illustrate that further throughout the year.
Except maybe Essendon during that obvious period.
Yeah.
But yeah.
But it is, I think, embarrassing the way it played out in the papers. But
is it such a big deal for clubs to be honest? Like... Yeah, we sacked him because he was being a dick. It's gone to the days when you can say, well, he was fucking tickling the till, and they don't have the platform to respond.
Yeah.
That you can't just go to the bloke down at the Melbourne Truth and say, look, poison, don't talk to Sylvie because he's going to lie and we pay your wage.
He was diddling one of our players' mums.
Yeah. Well, they just jump on Twitter and go, that's not what happened. Here's what happened. Yeah. And their 1.3 million followers go, yep, all right, I believe you.
It was interesting, though, that he went through the trade period and the draft and draft night and did very well for Carlton on draft night as well with the trades that they made. Live trades that they made, and it was certainly very active, and then he walked out the next day. But anyway,
I mean, it's hard to, like, he's a net asset to the club, and if you had to pick to drop him or a board director, the short term loss of losing him is much greater.
Yes, I 100% agree. Board directors can come and go as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, I mean, long term loss, a bad board can fuck things up.
Boards generally don't fire themselves.
No, it's much...
It's all about track position.
You have a lot of job security when you can vote yourself into a raise.
Exactly. Mm. All right, on to their 2020 draw, their double ups. So Richmond, the Bulldogs, North.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Saints and Sydney. I mean, that's not too bad. I mean, Richmond is going to be trouble, and you expect the Bulldogs and North to be trouble as well.
Well, but I think that sets the standard. Bulldogs, North and Sydney, that will determine their season.
Yeah.
Mm. If they split the difference with those guys, that's a good season for them. If they can come on top in their double-ups, that's a top season for them. And if they can also smash Saints in a couple as well, they'll be signing Teague up to a 10-year deal.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I think Saints North is about where they're at. If they get one of the Bulldogs, I think that's a massive win. Same as Tigers.
Well, they had their number last year, but yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it'd be good for them. So who's in for a big year with Carlton?
I mean, Walsh is the easy one.
Yeah. Second year Blues, though. You know, I'm a big believer in the second year Blues.
Yeah, they're all in the Blues.
Yep. Okay, well done.
Nick Newman has to, because they don't have a lot other backline leaders.
Yep.
I don't expect a lot from Jack Martin.
No, neither do I. But Carlton might.
Yeah. They absolutely need Cruiser, though. He needs to be fit and needs to be playing at least 18 games.
Yeah. Because like I said, Mark Pinnett's a project player.
Yeah. And everyone's so afraid at the moment of playing two ruckmen, but if you have to, you have to.
You have to, exactly.
Especially with a young squad, and having that extra muscle around the ball when you've got a young squad, I think is vital. I'm a big believer in having that, an enforcer role.
Yeah.
Just look after the young kids, because it's so easy to put a 19-year-old kid off just by giving him a bit of a tummy tap or whatever, because they're used to playing against other kids most of the time.
Mm.
Well, I mean, they've still got, is a big McKay. Who can take a bit of the ruck work as well. And he's probably a little bit more mobile than Cruiser, considering all these injuries.
Hmm.
So, I mean, they've got coverage there, you know.
But none of them seem to have aggression.
No.
What about Matthew Owies?
Owies?
Owies.
Matthew Owies.
Do you even know where he plays?
Well, he's definitely not an in and under player, I'm guessing.
I think he's a draft pick from this year.
His name is actually Matthew Owies.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cripps is going to have a big year, and I think because Carlton won't be as terrible as they were in previous years, it might be a bit easy to say he's a Brownlow favourite, but he's my pick for the awards for this year. I reckon these awards tend to have a little bit of PR behind them, and you need a little bit of momentum in order to get it, and I think he's at that stage now where the umpires are going to be watching him very closely.
They've already given it to Gary Ablett.
One more for the road.
Yeah.
I think he's only going to play four games.
I think if Sam Doherty is fit, expecting a big year out of him, I think just he's been on the sideline. Yeah,
play a game
on the sideline for 2 years. But I thought he was good before that.
He was brilliant before that. He was all Australian.
Yeah, great footy. So if he can recapture on that form, it really spreads the defense across that Carlton team.
With the defense, do we see Wiedering coming back into the fold? Because he had a brilliant first year.
He was good in his first year, and then he spent some time in the VFL this year, and I think that might have been just a little bit of maturity for him as well. But when you say Carlton lacking aggression, I think he's one of the worst ones for it.
Yeah.
If he had that little bit of aggression, he could be Glenn Jakovic.
Yeah, I mean, again, he's a young lad.
Yeah.
But I think that's when you can be the most aggressive, because fuck it, you heal in like 3 days.
Yeah, but I think he's been just so skilled at a young age that he didn't need to be. He was just more talented than everyone else on the field, so you never really had to learn that angle.
Yeah, I think sometimes having the...
Oh, like Jack Watts, basically.
Yeah, having the journeyman player who has to be a fucking scrapper can sometimes be a benefit to you.
You've got to figure out different angles to how you can get on top of your opposition where you're not skilled enough, basically.
But especially when you play backline at a young age, because you know you want to play a more talent than you, so fuck it, I'll just headbutt the bastard in the ass.
You need those veteran moves.
Yeah.
The old, look over there. The old step on the shoelace.
You only get those moves by playing against 32-year-old men.
Yeah, exactly. So every player should actually have a year in country footy.
Yeah.
Just to learn.
It's sort of like teacher placement. You get enough points, then you can play for whatever team you want.
It's like national service.
I'd like to see big Charlie Curnow kick 40 to 50 goals for him.
Fuck, he was unlucky in 2019.
Yeah.
Like, just you get a run on and he'd have spectacular games.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden you do an injury or you'd have six players hanging off him because there was no other option up forward.
But he needs to be that consistent target for him up forward as well.
Yeah.
Because we know he can move and take a hanger. He can even, like, if he's being locked down in the goal square, you can play him on a wing.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
Well, he played mid a few times.
He did, more than once, yeah.
And he can lead outside 50 and still have a shot.
Yeah, exactly. Who's on the outer? Who's in trouble at Carlton?
Well, I'm putting Cruiser there, just because he's had potential attached to his name for so long.
But it's just age and injuries, really.
Yeah, but, I mean, there's no sentiment in football.
No.
And if they've got Pitnett waiting there, look, he is probably 2 years away, but they might get him in early and just say, fuck it.
And they got Mackay, and, you know, even Casbolt takes some taps.
Yeah.
I've put Casbolt down here, but only because I don't think he's in danger anymore. And I reckon the last 4 years we've mentioned Casbolt in the, he's on the outer, he's in trouble.
Yep.
But I think he's just, you know what? We know what your role is now. And it is just a little bit of the Carlton hierarchy understanding he has a role here, not trying to force him into something else.
Yep.
And I mean, Murphy, Simpson, they're getting up there in age, but I think they mean too much leadership-wise to the team.
And I think there's no value elsewhere.
No, you're not going to get...
I think one who will have value is Mitch McGovern. And having practically... I don't think he even got on the park for 2019.
He played a bit.
Played a couple of games.
Old Brackets, they called him.
I think he's one that if he has another injury-interrupted season or a poor season, they'll be like, look, he's got a bit of value about him. Yeah. Maybe we look at moving him on and getting, a new ruckman in or something.
But realistically, their clear out was this year. You know, they cleared out a lot of players that were on the, you know, the 30th best and the that kind of stuff. So the list cloggers, as Terry Wallace used to call them. So
yeah.
I think they've got a lot of clear air. You know,
fuck it, trade Mitch McGovern over to West Coast for get him with his brother and get Nick Nat back. Yeah, if they can organise that trade, I'm putting them on for a flag in 5 years, and I want someone to check their fucking finances.
Yeah, that's a Facebook nuffies trade.
You just have to get the proper book though, got that shit hidden. I think Hugh Goddard, he's lots of promise going to the Saints. I love how he's still listed as a key defender.
Did he play a game last year?
Yes, he played one maybe round 17. So their website tells me, but he's one that, coming into the AFL for St Kilda, had a lot of promise, and they were staking basically their backline reputation on him.
Might have been a first-round pick even.
Yeah, didn't perform. Played a couple of games last year, but did win the best and fairest in the VFL for Northern Blues.
Yeah.
That's
a backhanded compliment, really.
Yeah,
though,
exactly.
I think if he can't
get consistent games, then they've got to offload him.
And obviously the coach is under no pressure whatsoever because he's already had half a season in the top and they're not going to move him on that quickly.
Yep. Yeah, as long as they can wait until about round 12 before they re-sign him, they'll be fine.
Yeah.
Yep.
But I like the way Teague goes about it. I think he's very clever to just simplify it.
Simple.
Seems to be one of the boys as well
in
the club rooms.
Yeah, and I think that'll work for a time until he needs to establish the rapport first and then there's discipline.
Because
if you come in and just throw discipline around without anyone respecting you, you're fucked.
When you come in, your side's 1-10.
Yeah.
I mean, the only way is up, isn't it?
Yeah.
Really.
Yeah.
All right, so where do we see him finishing in 2020? In 19, they were 16th with 7 wins. Josh, where you got him finishing?
I can see him getting maybe a win or two more, but I still think that's going to result in 15th.
Just not enough class. Is that what you're saying?
I think it's a development year for them.
Yeah,
they're going to be focused more on getting quality games into young players than they will be on winning at all costs. Because it'll be like, you know, if it's a hard slog in the mud and you've got young lads who are dead on their feet, they'll drag them on the bench rather than risk them getting injured. And that's what they should be doing too.
I mean, it is good for them in that respect that they play so many games at Docklands where obviously you shut the roof, but you can't play 22 games there.
Yep. I've got them finishing.
Yeah, not Collingwood.
15th? Yes, 15th
as well.
I think that with this year, I mean, considering last year their wins and losses wasn't great, but I think that they surprised a lot of people, even themselves, with what they were doing. So I feel like this is one where they just tinker with the system and make a game plan that's their own. And so I wouldn't be surprised if they have the same wins and losses, maybe a couple more wins, but I think this is where they actually figure out their own game plan and look at playing finals in a couple of years.
Yeah. Well, I've actually got them rising up the ladder a little bit. I said they're going to finish 10th.
That's a fair rise, to be honest.
It is, but I think that, you look at the second half of the year, they won 6, lost 5.
Yeah. And they beat Frio and the Dogs. Were they big wins?
The Dogs might have been their first win of the year.
Okay.
Just the way they played, there was a lot of positives with that.
And there were some moments where you saw Sam Walsh running with the ball. You're like, fuck, this kid can go.
He can do anything, yeah. And like I said, I think that Phillips is going to get a nod on Brownlow night. It's going to worry teams. Cripps. Who did I say?
Phillips.
Definitely not.
I don't think he'll get a nod on Brownlow.
No.
I'm just saying, Sportsbet will take some pretty fucking long odds for that.
No. Cripps.
Imagine if he does get up now.
No, it's not going to happen. On top of that, I think Eddie Betts brings more emotion and belief to him. I don't think he's going to kick 40 goals for him.
But I think having
every goal he kicks is going to be a highlight.
Having some positivity and having bums on seats.
Yeah.
Matters so much. Carlton supporters will be turning up to games not expecting to get fucking belted.
Yep. Exactly.
Or if they're like, look, we'll probably lose, but I don't want to go to work Monday and have to say I wasn't there to see Eddie Betts kick that fucking stupid goal.
Exactly. Or you can turn on Monday and be like, yeah, we almost got you, cunt.
But like, it's something for him to brag about. Like, they can turn him like, oh, look, mate, we got beat, but I was right in the pocket. I was 4 metres away from Eddie, and I looked in his eyes, and he fucking snapped it, and oh, mate, it was worth it. It was worth every second of it. And that's what they've never had. Or at least
haven't had for a long time.
Haven't had in at least a third of the supporters' lifestyle.
Yeah. All right, that'll do us for Carlton.
Yeah, good luck. Peace.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.